Podcast. I am your host today, Mo, and Martin is queuing us in on time. We're shooting for 40 minutes on this episode.
Four triangles to a soda. Say.
So we're five longtime friends. We all met in high school, and we decided to start a podcast where each one of us picks a movie and we all review it and generally get derailed. With me are my usual cast of characters. We've got Dane.
Hello.
Marvin.
Yo hoy hoy.
Also known as Martin. Beggs.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back.
And Quinn.
The pleasure is all mine.
Now today, I chose the movie and I picked the Joker. Just Joker. Quinn will get mad if I say the Joker.
Yeah, it's not just Joker. I'm saying it constantly.
So it stars Joaquin Phoenix. I picked it because it was a newer movie, and I hadn't seen it before. And I thought that we might have some good stuff to talk about here. So, Quinn, you want to start us off with a star rating?
All right, so I am going to give this movie 4 stars and a definite watch.
All right, Dane?
Same as Quinn, 4 stars and a watch.
We surprised Dane while he's eating his yogurt, but that's okay.
Sorry.
This is a 5-star movie and must watch.
And Marvin.
3 stars, watch.
I'm going to go ahead and give it a 4 star and a watch. And Martin, you've got the lowest star rating. Why don't you take it away?
Okay, a lot of pressure there, but yes.
Well, you're on the spot, you know what I mean?
I know, okay, I'll get used to that. All right, speaking out, okay, got 1 foot in the frying pan, 1 in the pressure cooker over here. All right, let's do it.
I feel like I should explain something to you here, Martin. We decided to do a podcast, and this is what we do. We talk about a movie.
Wasn't quite prepared for this. I don't think we did. We talk about that in the precast.
Yeah, we did, but you weren't in the meeting because you were.
All
right.
So
too busy in the Porky Pig Mountains.
Porky Pig Mountains.
That was beautiful up there. God, I wish I was up there so I didn't have to answer this question. All right, yes. So. My 3 star was just an average rating because I thought this was an average movie. They really didn't get into any compelling storyline, in my opinion. I thought it was just kind of straightforward, and they were really excited to talk about some guy doing crazy shit, and, like, he laughs about it. And then, like, and also, like, at the end, like, that scene where Batman's parents die is, like, also this. So, yeah. That's what I thought this movie was, essentially, in a nutshell.
Okay, well.
Mine's in the triangle zone.
I'll just stick to triangle.
So, Beggs, you thought this was a must watch?
Yes, definitely.
Why was that, Beggs?
This movie is probably best because it's mostly about Joaquin Phoenix and how great of an actor he is. But I also...
Man, wasn't it crazy how much weight he lost for this role?
Yes.
Like, that is insane.
Yeah. What did he lose, 52 pounds for this movie?
I didn't look it up exactly.
Like, I read an article, it was somewhere just a touch over 50 pounds, yeah.
So, I mean, Joaquin Phoenix really makes the movie. I love him and... What is it, Walk the Line, and actually the weird, crazy mockumentary he made, like, I'm Still Here, which I thought was brilliant.
Was that good?
I enjoyed it.
I thought it was great. But I probably gave this a 5-star because I'm not the biggest fan of Marvel movies. And
this is DC Universe, brah.
Come on.
DC.
That's what I'm getting at here.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Let me explain.
Doesn't like Marvel movies.
I'm not the biggest fan of Marvel movies because I feel like they're kind of put together the same way. There's a few of them that are good, but DC, this I think the director and Joaquin Phoenix kind of were working together to make this not a Marvel movie and not a regular superhero movie. They've also, I think the director Todd Phillips said mentioned that he doesn't actually want this this movie Joker to cross over with DC's any of the Batman movies. So they kind of wanted a standalone movie, which is sort of interesting, but it makes sense because Joaquin Phoenix is in it and he's kind of weirdly indie.
He never does sequels to anything.
Yeah. So I thought it was a great take and a really refreshing, you know, comic book movie.
I saw Todd Phillips talking about this, and I really like Todd Phillips. I mean, Hangover 2 and 3 aside, I think he's a good director and a funny writer. But I saw him on an NPR, or I heard him on an NPR interview when this movie was just coming out. And he was talking about how, I forget what type of movie he said he wanted to make, but he said he couldn't make it because Hollywood wasn't picking up any of those scripts. So he decided to do Joker in the DC universe because he could make like kind of I think it was like a psychological thriller is what he was saying. And he could actually get it picked up and produced. And that's kind of how this came to be. He really wasn't looking to make anything in the comic universe, but he knew that this is what studios wanted. So,
well, I think that's what Martin's bucking against, because Martin is an open opponent to comic book movies. He's sick of them. And I think that what I like about this movie is that it's still a comic book movie, but it's a different take of a comic book movie.
Yeah, but I agree.
A comic book movie by any other name is still a comic book movie.
So let's go ahead and hear your full review, Quinn.
So I really liked it. I thought that it was great that he had such a throwback to like Taxi Driver, which is almost the same movie. it's almost exactly the same movie, but I think that it is like a clever redo of Taxi Driver. And I think he did a really good job of like capturing just like a malcontent, that somebody who just like doesn't fit into society and just is kind of weird and off-putting.
And also mentally ill.
But I mean, you get like this deep feeling, like, and I think they're trying for it. Like, he's been turned away, and like he's just a weird guy that nobody likes. And I think that they did a really good job of like capturing that like loneliness. And also some creepiness. But I don't know. I think they did it. That's why I liked it. It's Joaquin Phoenix, really, that made this movie.
Well, no, I think that's taken away from Todd Phillips a little bit, too. And I thought that Robert De Niro did a great job as a late night host.
Right.
He tuned into that part so well. Yeah, I just thought he really did.
Yeah, he did a really good, like, Johnny Carson type of a person. I thought he did a great job. And then I really love the way that it ended. Spoiler alert.
Don't say that.
We don't.
People have to know when to pause.
This is a spoiler podcast. That is the point of this podcast. Everyone listening should know that spoilers abound.
So anyway, spoiler alert.
I'm gonna add to this.
Robert De Niro getting shot at the end was really, I think, perfect, and I'm happy that they didn't change it and made it like a super happy story. I'm really happy that they made it so that he just.
I don't think they would have ever made it a super happy story. It's about a villain.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they could have let Robert De Niro win or something, or otherwise, like, had him not kill him.
I was surprised that Joaquin Phoenix didn't commit suicide, because I thought this was going to be a standalone movie. And I think it still is, but I just thought they might go for that finality. Dane, what'd you think of the movie? Now that you're done with your yogurt.
and apple juice and orange juice. And
this is after yogurt with Dane.
It's lemonade tea, baby.
Gold Arnold tea. Palmer.
Knockoff Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, basically. No, I really, really enjoyed this movie a lot. I remember seeing it the only time I saw it previously. It was the only time I saw it, and that was right when it came out. And I remember thinking the exact same thing that I feel now about it when I first saw it, which was that this movie was fantastic. There was very little along the lines of complaints I could give it. I really loved the fact that to go back to a point that was made earlier on in the discussion about how this is a comic book movie. I kind of interpreted it a little bit differently. I just saw it as a movie that used characters that have been established already, pre-established characters, as a vehicle to tell its own story, because I'm sure many comic book nerds will know and tell you that there's no one definitive origin story for the Joker. They can make arguments over which comic could be like the definitive origin story to it. But the way that I think Phillips and everybody who made this movie, and Phoenix especially, just took the bare bones of what this character was before he actually became the Gotham-wide figure of the Joker, and just use it to talk about a whole lot of things. The biggest thing being mental illness and exactly what society does to people they just sort of leave out on the skids. I mean, it was brilliant stuff. It was absolutely fantastic. Like I was saying, though, the only real things that I could like complain about it were just minuscule things, and I don't even think I'd really complain about it. Like, the biggest thing, in my opinion, that I was just going like, what the fuck, as I was watching it, was the very first scene where he walks out in full regalia, the makeup and everything. And in the trailer, they had like this big choral music, and it was like super empowering and everything. And you're just like, oh, this is going to be great when you finally see it in the movie. And then it's Gary Glitter's Rock and Roll Part 2 as he climbs down, as he dances down the stairs and everything.
I was super disappointed by that too.
I was like, okay, I mean, that's a choice, I guess. But I mean, that's not the choice I think most people would have chosen. But I mean, no. Like I said, very, very minuscule along the lines of things that I would complain about this movie. It's a definite, you gotta watch it kind of movie.
We want Durante. I don't know about- we want Durante.
Right?
I thought you were going to be upset that there wasn't more Marc Maron in this movie, because we all love Marc Maron.
I don't love Marc Maron. I don't dislike Marc Maron, but
I don't think I like him.
You love Marc Maron.
No,
he's the assistant. He's the assistant to Robert De Niro.
Yeah, before he goes on the Late Show.
The dude with the long white hair and the Oh my god!
Yeah, it was Marc Maron.
I had no idea. That's so great.
Yeah, we needed more Marc Maron in this movie.
I don't know about you guys, but I actually had a couple chuckles in this movie too. There was a couple of lines that Joaquin Phoenix delivered that made me laugh a little bit.
Oh yeah,
and I thought that was funny. Really well done.
It's funny when he's like pretending like how he's gonna kill himself on air.
Oh, and he shoots off the gun.
It. Yeah, he's rehearsing it over and over again, and then he's just trying to like walk out good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. The walkout.
How he let the little guy live after he killed the big guy from
kisses him on the head.
Kisses on the
fantastic.
Oh, my favorite part.
The only one who was nice to me. Go ahead.
My favorite part though is the when the detective's talking to him. He says, "Well, it's just like a clown thing." A clown thing? And then he walks into the sliding door.
Yeah.
A clown thing. Yeah. One last drag of his cigarette. What do you think? Turns around. Bam!
Yeah, I thought that was good too.
It's exit only. I thought that was great.
Okay. So, is he Bruce Wayne's son, though? Or is it
Tom
just
Wayne's?
Thomas Wayne's son?
Thomas Wayne's, yeah.
John Wayne's son.
Thomas Wayne's son, that's what I said. Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't think
what?
So.
What do you mean? You don't think that's Bruce?
I don't think that Arthur is Thomas Wayne's son.
Oh, absolutely not. Like,
okay, that is just his mom.
His mom was a fucking nutcase, and she did horrible, abusive things to him as a child, and now he is what he is.
Right.
So Martin, why did you hate this movie? Mediocrely.
Why did you give it lukewarm hatred?
Yeah. What is that about?
Well, why did you passively aggressively hate this movie?
This is killing your father, Larry.
This is killing your father.
Come on, Martin.
I don't know. I just didn't think the storyline went anywhere. It didn't do anything for me. I thought them trying to approach mental illness, it was still really stigmatized. I didn't appreciate that. And he only comes to fruition when he stops taking his meds and does his and kills somebody. I mean, what does that say about mental illness, really?
Well, so I think that they were kind of drawing on the. So I actually. I liked that part because it seems like I think it's supposed to be set in the 70s in a fake city, but it seemed 80. A lot like the, what's that?
80 in Gotham.
Oh, it was 80. I missed that part. But it seemed a lot like the Subway Killer, which is a true story about a guy, of a vigilante in the New York subways.
Gates. And I did not know that.
His name's Gates.
They had a mental illness.
So I think that was part of the whole big debate. It's a whole big story, but he, there's racial overtones in it and everything. But I think that they were drawing heavily on that. And so I think that that's, I understand what you're saying, but I think that's part of the reason why mental illness was portrayed the way it was. Because I think they were drawing heavily off of that true life story.
That we aren't sure if he had mental illness in.
So, no, it's not that. It's just that there was a debate as to whether how sound-minded he was, and like I said, it's a whole big event that we don't have time to go over.
Okay.
But I think that that's what they were using for inspiration for Arthur, at least with the three Wall Street guys that he killed in the subway.
Okay.
So
yeah, So the mental illness like aspect of this movie was, I mean, it was there the entire time, obviously, but the big part of kind of his actions, I think Joaquin Phoenix even sort of refused to elaborate even more on the movie. And that's what he liked about it, is that it would be open to the viewer's interpretation. So kind of like what I was seeing from the mental illness aspect was like, you couple that with, like, he doesn't know for sure that Thomas Wayne is his father, yeah. But his mom's right. Been telling him that his whole life. His mom has mental illness. And then he develops this condition, which I'm not exactly sure what it completely was, but then he was also bullied the whole time. So it's kind of like pushing him over the edge and pushing and pushing. He doesn't really have a strong family backing or support structure to help him cope with things. And then his mental illness also plays into that. And it just kind of just pushes him over the edge. And then Robert De Niro is kind of his idol that he looks up to. And then eventually he's like, oh, he's paying me attention, but he's actually just making fun of me to push him even more. It's more so
well,
like,
right, but I mean, I think that that's
the whole time.
But I think to that point, which I mean, I think is very accurate, but I think to that point, it actually works in Martin's favor too, that Arthur is only gratification is when he takes justice into his own hands because he was pushed,
right?
And so it's not a very healthy portrait to paint. It's not
agree. I don't think it's a healthy portrait to paint, but I think that it's a comment on the fact that society I think that you're supposed to see that at any second this could have been stopped or prevented with just like the slightest bit of compassion, but all he finds is people who are rotten and nasty. And I think that his liberation, so to speak, of being free is not so much a liberation of him, you know, in his mental illness, it's just a liberation from the nasty people who turned his back on him. And I think that the viewer is supposed to take away from that, not that you should go off your meds as a mentally ill person. Now, of course, a mentally ill person watching this might not see that point and might idolize the wrong part of it. But I think that we, the viewer, are supposed to view it as society's failure has pushed him over the edge. And if we just took preventative measures and at one step along this track, like stopped him, then you wouldn't have like this homicidal mania.
Right. Go ahead, Dan.
Just the last thing he was saying to Murray right before he ended up murdering him on television, I think pretty much encapsulates pretty much everything Quinn was saying right there. The last joke that he said was, what do you get when you cross a mentally ill loner with a society that abandons him and treats him like trash? You get what you fucking deserve. And that as a whole, I think pretty much sums up everything. Yeah. To the point of what the movie's trying to say.
Yeah, I agree with that too. And then, yeah, it's obviously, you know, for anybody that's thinking morally, like correctly, this is not the approach that you should be taking. Mm-hmm. But I found it interesting how Todd Phillips actually sort of gave you a feeling that Joker in this movie was a hero, which I felt really weird about when I was done watching it, because it's like you kind of sympathize with him because, you know, he gets bullied the whole time through it and nobody's really helping him. And
so he doesn't, that goes back to the subway vigilante, though. And I know I keep bringing it up, and I don't want to go into it too deep.
Yeah,
and I'm sorry about that. But New York did treat him like a hero for a long time. It wasn't until, you know, written statements where he's hurling racial epithets at black people came out that people's public opinion started to turn against him. But he was heralded as a hero for killing, or, well, shooting. He didn't. He actually.
Yeah, nobody killed.
But he shot three men on the subway who he said were attacking him, and it's all up for debate. And I, you know, but he was heralded at this time, you know, a similar time frame, as this gigantic hero. He was a press darling for a while because the police weren't doing anything, and he was tired of being picked on. That's what he said. And so I do think that it's a pretty good telling of that story as well. Also, if you're interested in true crime, that's a very interesting story. I would highly recommend looking into that more.
So can we agree that DC villains are more exciting than their superheroes?
Fuck yes. Yeah. Well, absolutely. They're both equally as interesting, in my opinion.
I think
Batman's just as exciting as Joker?
At times, he can be, depending on the story.
Here's my problem.
It really depends on which villain he's going against, but
here's okay. My problem with DC, and I'm not a super comic book fan, but my problem with DC is that they're two flagship, you know, franchises, Batman and Superman. Superman's an alien who's basically a god. You know, I mean, he's indestructible, basically. And then Batman's just a rich guy with a bunch of toys, and I don't find either of them to be particularly enthralling heroes.
It's because their superheroes are lame and their villains are cool.
I agree with you, Ben.
It's like, you know, just fly around from space and kryptonite and blah, 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 and I'm an alien, and then my dad's rich. I don't really understand that.
I don't know. I liked Christopher Nolan's Batman. I thought that was good.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Dave. Give us some manga.
Tell it to us, Dave. Dave knows the best.
We don't even need to get going on manga with me right now, but I'll just say, like, I don't agree with that argument about how both are very, like, uninteresting just based off of their backstories. I mean, you could say that about any superhero.
I do say that about Tony Stark, because I knew you were going to go there.
Yeah,
Iron Man. Iron Man is one.
Thor.
I'm gonna go off of the Avengers because I don't really care much for Marvel or DC, to be quite honest with you. But, like, yeah, Thor is a god. Tony Stark is another rich guy with toys. What's Black Widow's story?
Yeah, I agree. Black Widow and Bullseye, or what?
No, not Black Widow. Bullseye.
No, the Archer's got a different name because Bullseye's DC. It's a Suicide Squad.
That argument is
superheroes are lame.
I'm not convinced, Mo. You got to give me something more to deal with on this one, man.
Okay, so let's take Batman and Tony Stark, right?
Superheroes are lame.
Let's not even start on Star Wars, bro. Not even do it.
Tony Stark has got this amazing intellect that he's supposed to be drawing on, which mm-hmm. makes him a little bit different. And that I think that you could almost argue that a superpower is super intelligence.
Okay.
Where he's yeah. So even though, yes, he's just a rich guy who's throwing money at it, he also is in his backstory. He's got a lot more going for him as far as innovation and being able to figure it out. And it's all part of the backstory.
I mean, I'm not Bruce Wayne's the head of like another billion-dollar corporation. And in fact, he's been known as the world's greatest detective. He can, he's always he's got not a dumb.
I'm Bruce Wayne and I deserve respect.
Like, I mean, I'm playing devil's advocate here. Like,
no,
even going back as far as the Adam West days, like, you know how they always make memes and make fun of the fact that he always had like some can of spray that would be able to like beat off whatever fucking henchman is coming at him. Like, I think he had some anti-shark spray in one episode of the old Batman.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like,
he's, no, I'm not familiar with it specifically, but.
The point that I'm trying to get at is that if Batman has enough time to prepare for whatever he's about to go with, he's right up there, probably even farther on than Tony Stark is, as far as rich guy, smart, innovative, rich, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, and then I would have the same beef also with Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I think that when you take a look at the Hulk story and how it's accidental, or even Spider-Man's story.
Another rich man. Well, Spider-Man, I don't know too much. I don't know if he's supposed to be a college student or a high school student.
I think he's supposed to be a high school student.
High school student.
I mean, well, Peter Parker, because there's other ones too, but.
Right. You know, that reminds me, that's a movie I should put on my list. Into the Spider-Verse, there's so many freaking Spider-Mans that you could be making this argument for, but there's so many that you also couldn't be making that argument for.
Right.
Any of you guys seen that one yet?
No.
I'll put that one on my short list there.
The boys are not happy with this.
Everybody's not talking about superheroes.
Anyway, I thought Joker was pretty good.
We'll go offline on this one, though.
Did you guys like the part? It reminded me a lot of Joe Cocker dancing when he's dancing around in his underwear.
I loved his dancing, the whole thing.
I saw a video of him dancing down the staircase, and someone put "You Can Leave Your Hat On" in the background, and I thought that was the funniest fucking thing. Like,
this thing suffers. It had an awesome trailer. I saw the trailer and I wanted to see it, and that's all because I know I said it before, but Jimmy Durante's "Smile," that song was perfect.
Yeah, I agree.
For this. And they didn't use it enough, I don't think. I agree. The steps should have been just as dramatic as the trailer, and I feel misled a little bit.
I hate it when they do that, too.
Welcome to Trailer Making 101, boys.
Yep.
I don't remember the trailer. We need to it's make a trailer,
Phillips
by the way.
The best trailer.
You just got to get butts in the seat. I get it. Mm-hmm. But it's frustrating.
But why didn't they just do it?
Martin, I haven't heard a triangle. How are we doing here?
Yeah, how many triangles are we in, Martin?
Well, no, we are 1 minute away from the 10-minute triangle.
Martin is off put by
superheroes and comics and fairy tale fucking stories.
Martin didn't give this that bad of a review. He just said it was an average movie.
Yeah.
Now we're making a villain out of Martin.
The true villain.
Also, guys, not to pat myself on the back too much, but I do believe that if we averaged them, I just got the highest rated movie.
I think that's right.
I think you're right. Too, yeah. I think you're right.
Would this be time to insert the wheel of terrible picks?
Oh boy.
Do you have
the wheel of terrible picks?
We gotta make it still. It's in the works.
Okay. It's in the works, yeah. Not this episode. Join in next time for
right now I've got an in memoriam to Carl Reiner. I still haven't figured out my webcam, but he passed away yesterday and he was a comedy legend, so
great.
Anyway, we're gonna move.
That's for you, Carl.
Martin, can you triangular that a little bit harder there, Martin?
Is there more? It needs more triangle.
Yeah, I just it's
sturdy, nice. Sturdy.
Yeah, fire that up.
Isosceles me, baby.
We gotta talk, Martin. You gotta talk while you're doing it because it's cutting out the.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Woo.
Is that better?
Keeps cutting out.
There we go.
There we go.
All right.
There
but anyway, moving on.
All right.
Next week's pick goes to Quinn. And Quinn, why don't you tell us what you picked?
Okay, so I have thought about this quite a bit. And I came up with nothing. But then I thought a little bit.
All right. Off to a great start.
Perfect.
I wanted something that the Netflix users could use because I feel like that's a good platform. People wouldn't have to try too hard to watch the next movie, and maybe something a little bit lighter. So I am going to go with something that is more of the fairer sex persuasion, but I've heard good things about. And this is called The Time Traveler's Wife. Starring...
Oh.
Yeah, Dane's heard of it.
Quinn!
Oh, wait. What is, I'm sorry, I'm being told that I got the title wrong.
It's just him. Everyone, stay tuned.
Oh, stay tuned, stay report. Tuned. It's coming hot off of the presses.
Unfortunately, the head office has told me that we need to make an editorial change.
That's right.
This day, Quinn is a boob.
What just happened was...
It is Quinn, not...
Quinn had nothing, right? Quinn just announced nothing, and then Steph saw him flailing up there and tried mouthing him a new movie for him to say.
I got
nothing.
Time traveler fishing fish.
Is that a fish?
Time traveler.
It's a fish named Wanda.
There it is.
And then he's gonna give the mic.
You heard it here first, folks. A fish named Wanda.
No, that's right, Quinn. It is.
No. It's not the time traveler's wife. It's about time. They both star Rachel McAdams. Jesus. Rachel McAdams has been in two time travel romantic comedies.
Is it a
sequel? Oh, so Quinn, you're picking our first rom com.
Oddly enough, they were filmed at the same time.
How do you explain that one, buddy?
I'm not gonna lie. I am a little bit disappointed that it's actually not The Time Traveler's Wife because I read the book to A Time Traveler's Wife. And I've been wanting to watch the movie version of that for years now, actually. But a bunch of female friends of mine have told me that About Time is like one of their favorite romantic comedies like ever. Yeah. So
it's got the evil guy from Star Wars in it.
Something.
Darth Vader.
Starring Darth Vader.
And it has Margot Robbie in it too.
It has Margot Robbie.
No way.
Yes. Okay, so which one are we watching?
About time.
Okay.
Speaking of time,
Hey Steph, thanks for picking this movie.
She can't hear you. She's not here, but I'm sure if she could hear you, she would hear a bunch of thanks for helping us.
Bill Nighy wasn't he in a movie we watched?
Who?
Bill Nighy. Yeah.
He was freaking Davy Jones in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Oh boom. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The dad from Shaun of the Dead's in here.
From
too.
Shaun of the Dead, and he was the voice of the aliens from The World's End.
He was in a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's great. So get your tissues out, boys, because this is a tearjerker.
Is it?
I'm okay.
I don't
with
know.
That.
I think it ends a feel good. I saw the trailer. It seemed.
That's nice.
Has anybody seen this one?
Nope. No,
I think Quinn has. I'm sure.
No, I've only seen the trailer.
So wait, this is the first one since probably
Eddie Coyle.
Since Eddie Coyle, that none of us have seen this movie?
I think so.
Well, Martin has been oddly silent. I don't know if he's seen it.
Martin is not happy.
Martin is focused on trying.
Martin is not happy.
I mean, why can't I hit that thing again? No, I haven't seen it.
Martin's still in the woods.
Yeah, Martin has a lot of Porky Pig Mountains.
Awesome.
But yeah, so it's on Netflix. Anybody who cares to join can just watch along, and we'll be coming shortly.
And guys, I don't want to stress this too much.
Enjoy it thoroughly.
I don't want to stress this too much, but we are very reachable. We would like to give some shout outs on the podcast. So if you contact us, we will talk about you.
There is a good chance we will reply.
Well, Mo, would you like the call to action segment?
How are we doing on time? Are we ready for this?
I don't know.
3 minutes. Only one.
Yeah, let's go ahead and I'm the host. I'm gonna throw it to the call to action. The hell with your rigid time schedule.
Yeah.
Thanks. Lead us into the call to action, please, sir.
Hello, and welcome to our call to action segment. Please subscribe, follow, like, comment, and care on all our social media outlets. You can find us at After the Movie Podcast on YouTube and anywhere that you listen to your subscribed podcast. If you would like to interact with us, please go to our Twitter handle at After the Movie PC. We have just recently switched podcast host, so if you would like to send us a voice message with any movie suggestions, questions, comments, or sound bites, go to anchor.fm/afterthemoviepodcast, all one word lowercase, and click on the message button to record and send us something preferably interesting for your chance to be featured on the podcast.
Hey,
it's great. That sounds wonderful.
Oh, I'm going to do it right now.
I'm going to go write my sexually explicit message right now.
And it may be featured.
Whistle for Cam, Wacky. The last place of freshness had dice in the mirror. If anything that I can say, this camp is rare. Said, nah, man, forget it, home to Bel Air. I pulled up to the house about 7 or 8 and yelled to the cabbie home. Stay later, looked at my kingdom, I was finally there. This is my throne of the Prince of Bel Air.